And welcome back. Now we continue our look at the golden anniversary of the Gateway Arch. That 50th anniversary of when the arch was completed is today. Many people know the name Eero Saarinen, the architect who designed the monument. Fewer know the story of how the arch came to be and the ways its design touched the Saarinen family. One who does is Susan Saarinen, Eero's daughter. She's a landscape architect in Colorado, and she spoke with producer Anya O'Connor about her work and family and shared thoughts on her father's famous arch. Anya first asked Susan how she got started in landscape architecture.
The fact that my father and grandfather were famous and accomplished architects, and my aunt and grandmother and mother were accomplished designers and artists, caused me to want to find my own path. And I avoided, for the first 30 years, I avoided architecture like poison, wanting to have absolutely nothing to do with architecture.
Really? Did you do any other art?
I have a degree in ceramics and weaving, and I have a degree in nursing, but I was avoiding architecture or anything to do with architecture until I went and had some tests and preference tests, and they said, you know, you really would make a really good architect. And I said, no. Said, landscape architecture is also something that you would be very good at, and you like the natural world and work outside. And I said, no. And 2 weeks later, I woke up in the middle of the night and I realized that landscape architecture fit me perfectly.
What makes you a particularly suited to landscape architecture as opposed to any other kind?
I love the outdoors. And the natural world. I love the materials of the natural world. And when I was growing up, I saw that my grandfather was working with stone and wood and some metal, but beautiful metals, not steel. And I liked those natural materials, whereas I saw my father working with concrete, which I don't like, and steel and glass, and the materials just seemed somewhat different to me.
I'm interested especially in the difference in work and in the dynamics between your father and your grandfather. They were both celebrated architects, and you touched on their difference in materials as well, but what was the difference in their styles, and did that come out at all in family dynamics?
Well, my grandfather grew up at a time when mass production was just beginning to be started. He was born just a little after the Industrial Revolution and was still designing for the production of one-of-a-kind things. If you design a chair, you have somebody make one and then another one and then another one. So everything was still, for the most part, being handmade. When my father was growing up, mass production was part of life. And so his designs were much more along the lines of how can we mass produce this? And the materials and technology that were used in my grandfather's time and my father's time were different. So my grandfather and my father both always said, design for your time. And they were both doing that, but their times were different. So their approach to design was different.
And along with the concept of designing for your time, I'm interested in your thoughts on the structure and the aesthetic of the Gateway Arch. What do you think is timely about it? What do you think your father saw that made him think that the arch and the shape of it and the materials was the right and the winning design?
It's a wonderful, simple symbol of a gateway, of a way to move through into a new place. It is so simple in its form and its symbology that it is timeless. It's very much of its time in the materials that were used in the technology at the time. But the symbol itself is beautiful, and it's a wonderful reminder of our past and our ideals as we go forward. And it's a perfect expression of what we can achieve if we are thoughtful and consider making something beautiful.
I was looking through some of the other designs that were submitted, and I know that your grandfather also submitted into the same competition for the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial. Were they competing against each other? They had collaborated in the past, I know, but was there some kind of tension there?
Well, there's a tension whenever there's a competition, and they were both capable competitors. But this was the first time that my father designed something on his own, and what they did was to divide the office down the center, and they made it impossible for anyone to see into their half of the office. And they were very serious competitors. But my grandfather had taught my father how to compete and had taught him as much as he could every time they worked together, so that my father wanted to try his wings on a particular competition would have been a mark of success for my grandfather. So they were serious competitors, but when it came time that my father won the right to go on to the second part of the competition, my grandfather raised a glass of champagne to him because he had accomplished something wonderful.
Your father did die quite young and before the arch was completed. Do you remember him working on the arch at all, on that design?
For 13 years, my father worked on the arch design and development and testing of materials and so on and so forth. And my brother Eric and I, a couple of times a year, would go through the office and see what my father was working on. And for those 13 years, we saw some aspect of the arch being studied or tested or built. There was a large, long set of steps that were built in the behind the office to test out the tread versus riser relationship. And there were cardboard mock-ups of the capsules that go up the arch to test and see how big or small they needed to be, whether it was possible, how much time it took for somebody to get in and fill the capsule so they could figure out how fast the capsule would go and how many people they could move in an hour. There were all of those things constantly happening, and probably my first memory was chains in the basement.
Chains?
But that was chains in the basement, hanging chains in the basement to decide just what the relationship between the height and the width of the arch would be.
So this was very much a working from home project.
It was working home, working in the office, yes. It was for 13 years we saw signs of arch work going on.
Wow. And I think people in St. Louis, if they know the name Saarinen, they think of the arch and only the arch, but he had a plan for the entire arch grounds, right?
Yes, he did. And he and Dan Kiley, his landscape architect, had worked on other projects before, and they worked very closely with one another to develop the grounds just the way my father wanted them to be. In fact, my father and grandfather both had plans that involved both sides of the river, which we know were never developed, but they felt that that was an important aspect of the original designs.
Have you seen the mock-ups and the work on the new arch grounds?
I have seen some drawings, and I have walked with the gentleman who is sort of project manager for Michael Van Valkenburg. We walked, the last time I was in St. Louis, we walked around the grounds to take a look at it.
What'd you think?
It's a rather large project, and the city fathers decided what they wanted to do and to make the arch more accessible from the city, and I think they've done that. You know, I think the most important aspect of the grounds and the monument are itself are that we are talking about a monument. We are not talking about a place where commerce is supposed to happen. We're talking about a more spiritual space, and that was the intention originally. Although my father did have shops and restaurants and so on the grounds. They were eventually scrapped to simplify. But I think the most important part of the landscape is that it is part of the monument. It doesn't exist by itself, and it's not just an addition. It's part of it. And the landscape architect who is working on the plans, you know, who is implementing the plans for the update has to work within the parameters of today and the needs of today. But he was very well aware of the spiritual aspect of the landscape as being part of the monument.
What do you think is its significance? I sort of wonder if maybe some of its message has changed, or if, as you said, it remains a timeless structure, and the things your father was trying to say 50 years ago remain the same.
Well, it's still a symbol of our past. It's still a reminder of the ideals that we take forward into our future. But to me, the arch has become larger than the Louisiana Purchase or Jefferson. It is, if you travel the world, it's a symbol of the United States. And in that sense, it's grown larger and represents the United States in its forward-thinking, beautiful form. Whether it will continue to be a symbol of our best selves, I guess, is up to us. It's still a beautiful symbol, but the world is getting complicated, so it's harder to see the simplicity of the symbol now.
That's Susan Saarinen, the daughter of Eero Saarinen, the architect who designed St. Louis's Gateway Arch. Susan is a landscape architect in Colorado, but is in St. Louis today to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the arch. She spoke with producer Anya O'Connor. The St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom's coverage of the Arch's 50th anniversary is now in one easy spot for you to explore on our site. See great historical photos and meet important figures in the Arch's past, present, and future at stlpublicradio.org. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Geraldine Brooks about her new book, The Secret Chord, a novel about King David. Then we'll take a look at the artistry and business behind Haunted Houses. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.